Ben Harper is our guest today in concert at World Cafe Live and talking with the cafe's Michaela Majun. Ben is a thoughtful writer and a performer whose intensity really comes out on stage. He's made some remarkable albums, including one recently with the Blind Boys of Alabama called There Will Be a Light, and the new double album, Both Sides of the Gun. Michaela Majun's conversation with Ben begins with a question about the origin of his new song, Please Don't Talk About Murder While I'm Eating.
It came about from the necessity of needing to have just a moment of solitude and demanding that at least an hour in my life a day be sacred from outside angst and aggression. And I just turned to various people and I said, would you, just the exact phrase. And as serious as I was, it came off as it was just a moment where everyone kind of looked at me and was like, this guy's right. And it was mixed company. It wasn't really, it was a slightly condescending statement just from the company I was keeping. But I still leaned into it. I was like, you guys, this isn't going to work for me. And as serious as I was, we just busted out laughing and said, okay. Then it stuck with me, so I brought it to the tape.
But you're the last one to grieve. I know all too well the world takes a daily beating. But please don't talk about murder while I'm eating. You walk into the temple and you call it a church. I try to keep things simple, but you always need the works. Your life is marked by numbers and symbols. Excessive drinking from out of golden thimbles. Just a moment of silence I'm needing. So please don't talk about murder while I'm eating. Let's not talk about murder while I'm eating. Bothered at the strangest times and places, but you don't notice the looks on all the other faces. You're dressed for summer in the middle of December. What you've up but forgotten, I painfully remember. Now I don't care in the least what you're reading. Please don't talk about murder while I'm
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ben Harper is with us today. He has a brand new double CD called Both Sides of the Gun, and that was Please Don't Talk to Me About Murder When I'm Eating, here on the World Cafe. Ben, what does this album represent for you in the evolution of your work?
I want to answer that question, but I can't because I don't really know. and I don't think I will know for 5 or 10 years. I'm not that introspective, and I don't analyze my own process. As good of a question as it is, I think it is a significant moment musically, personally, with this record. I feel it very different. I feel a different energy around this record entirely on a lot of different levels. I'm just not sure what that's going to mean. All I know is it feels right. It feels great. And I'm looking forward to play these songs live.
Certainly it mixes different genres of music the way that your music always has. There's a folk and soul and rock and blues. There's a really jazzy number on the album. And there's one that's kind of Stonesy rock that I think you're going to do for us.
Yes. It's called Engraved Invitation.
Anything you want to tell us about that?
Well, that's just me kind of saying it's time to lighten up and rock and roll.
That was Ben Harper in front of an audience here at the World Cafe today doing Engraved Invitation, one of the more rocking songs on the new double CD, Both Sides of the Gun. You're the sole producer on this new album.
Yeah.
And you're working with some of your favorite criminals.
Yes. Innocent as they may be. That was a blast to have the band in. Also had some of my favorite hometown musicians in as well, and just some good friends. The string section that was here today is on the record. So it gave me a chance to stretch out and get some different sounds for the different songs.
Talking about your hometown, I know you're from Claremont, California, which is inland from L.A.
About 60, 70 miles.
You don't still live there.
I have home in the Inland Empire in Claremont, and I have a home in L.A.
So what was it like growing up there for you?
It was great. It was tranquil and outside sort of the rush of the city. And it was, once you're an hour or so outside of L.A., you could be anywhere in America. and was completely detached from the process of metropolis city living. So it was nothing. I didn't get into the city until I was 20, I guess.
So what were your aspirations growing up there?
My aspirations were, as a youth, getting into trouble, and as I got older, trying to get out of it.
That's good. Did you succeed?
Yeah. Knock on wood.
I know you're a multi-instrumentalist. Which one did you start with growing up?
Started with the drums. Played the drums first and took drum lessons, took some piano lessons, but never penetrated the soul of matters. I love to play the drums very much and piano. It's just that it never was the sound that demanded I commit my life to it, like the slide guitar.
So you went to slide guitar next.
Yeah.
Inspired by whom or by what?
Inspired by my family's music store and the players that would come through my family's music store, and inspired by the music that my family was playing around me. A lot of it, the music store is based around American roots music, folk, blues, soul, gospel, as well as
names of people who came through there.
Let's see, who's come through? The Seeger family. My grandparents were good friends with Mike, Peggy, and Pete, and David Lindley, and Ry Cooter, and Jackson Brown, and Taj Mahal, just to name a few, and a whole list of other people whose names you wouldn't recognize but are of the greatest musicians in the world.
Now, you're saying that they carried that music, or those musicians actually showed up there?
Oh, no, those were musicians that would come in regularly.
How did they know your grandparents?
Because my grandparents are the first family of folk music in America, for the most part. I mean, they carried the torch of keeping folk music alive in this country.
Wow. What am I missing here? I guess I don't know who they are.
They're Dorothy and Charles Chase.
Wow.
And they opened up the Folk Music Center well before the folk boom of the 60s. They were purveyors of the folk boom. And it was opened in 1958. It's still open and family run. It'll be open 50 years in 2008.
So you always knew you were going to be a musician, I bet.
I didn't know it, but I always felt it.
What a fabulous legacy. Does everyone know this but me about you?
Some people do, some people don't. I think it's fair to not know. Sure.
And just to get back to the guitar, what about the guitar that you play now, the Weissenborn?
Yes.
What is that? Why did you pick that up?
That was the slide guitar sound that grabbed me by the neck and said, this is you. This is where you're going. And you can never deny that. Otherwise, why would anyone ever play the trombone? You know, I mean, it's just the sound that kicks you in the butt.
Ben Harper is with us today on The World Cafe. And last time we heard from you, it was that wonderful album, There Will Be a Light, which you did with the Blind Boys of Alabama.
Yeah.
And it seems like a natural collaboration, considering your musical interests and your spirituality, as you've expressed it in the past.
I was on a crash course with the Blind Boys since the day I was born.
What was it like actually working with them?
It was like having my world and horizons and perspective, and they took someone who has spent, I mean, I've recorded with John Lee Hooker. John Lee Hooker befriended me. I've opened for him, recorded with him, hung out with him, watched baseball with him. I've hung out with Brownie McGee. Never played with him, never toured with him. I played with him in his house. He played piano. I played slide guitar. We sang together and kicked around with Brownie from Sonny Terry, Brownie McGee. And I've gotten to know my parents' generation of musicians who've devoted their life to it. I've got to know Ry Cooter and done some recording with Ry Cooter as well. He and I threatened to do a record together. I'm going to try to hold him to it. And gotten to play with David Lindley and sing with Jackson Brown. And I'm not name dropping. I've got to play with the Funk Brothers, the Motown band who played on all the Motown hits.
And Taj?
Tour with Taj Mahal. First, I should say that before I say anybody, Taj gave me my first professional gig as a sideman. But even after all that, working with the Blind Boys somehow cemented me as being significant in that chain of American musical history and culture. That's honking my own horn to a degree, and I don't mean to do that, but this process is very lab-like and I'm under the microscope and talking about myself is what I like to do the least. So I'm not saying I'm good at it. I'm probably not as arrogant and brash as others, and I'm probably more humble than some others. So I try to find the in-between. But just to say that working with them, it somehow galvanized a certain musical lineage that I've always considered myself connected to, but this permanently affirmed it, I think. I hope, knock on wood.
I also read that you said through working with them, you went from singing to being a singer.
I did say that.
And that's a huge statement, especially at this point, after singing all these years.
Well, a lot of people, and I very much meant that. I mean it to this day, and without them, I wouldn't be able to sing like I can sing now, because a lot of people can sing with the Blind Boys, but not anybody can meet eye to eye with them and push them along and be pushed and push back. And so they demanded I elevate my game.
There is a song on the new album that to me sounds like it has their influence in it, and it's Gather Round the Stone.
Yeah, Gather Round the Stone and Better Way both, the harmonies are highly informed by the Blind Boys' work and how they put together their harmonies.
And we're going to listen to you doing Gather Round the Stone
right
now on our stage.
It's a stripped-down version, so it'll be different than the album one, but yeah.
Say hey, 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 gather round the stone. Hey, 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 gather round the stone. You're too young to know that you're too young to go. There's no freedom to be found lying face up in the ground. Say hey, 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 gather round the stone. From an unfinished life for all that's left, in a teardrop-shaped locket hanging from his mother's chest. Say, hey, hey, gather round the stone. Hey, hey, gather round the stone. Say, hey, hey, gather round the stone. Then you sail down upon it in your killing machine. Say, hey, 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 gather round the stone. Hey, 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 gather round the stone. Old men who send children off to die in vain, they will hear death's constant whisper call, remember, remember my name. Say, hey, 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 gather round the stone. Hey, 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 gather round the stone. Say, hey, 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 gather round the stone. Hey, 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 gather round the stone. Say, hey, 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 gather round.
A live performance of Gather Around the Sun from our guest, Ben Harper. Coming up, more music, and we find out how he keeps a semblance of normalcy in his life, considering his rock and roll lifestyle and marriage to actress Laura Dern. when we return to the World Cafe. More performance with Ben Harper coming up. First, Michaela Majoun asked Ben about another collaboration besides the Blind Boys of Alabama, his work with the Funk Brothers for the film Standing in the Shadows of Motown, and his recording of I Heard It Through the Grapevine.
That was one of those moments where, you know, when Johnny Griffin kicked into boom, 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 boom. And he was the same guy that played it for Gladys, and he was the same guy that played it for Marvin. And there he was playing it for me. It was one of those moments where I actually said, is this happening to me? Is this really happening to me? And if it is, it must mean that I'm getting somewhere in the music world because this is happening.
I just got goosebumps just hearing you talk about that.
It's the same cat, same band.
You have said or been quoted as saying, I've learned to get out of my own way and get out of my own head. And you stay in your heart, put on the mic, and go. And yeah. I understand that you recorded and wrote a lot of the songs on this new album really fast. Is that a departure for you?
Yeah, it is. It's as much a departure, and it's as to come full circle with our talk. It's a return to form because that's how back in the day I made records quick because I had to, and there was no budget. There's an insistence of improvisation, and through that insistence of improvisation due to a time constraint, there's an urgency and an immediacy that I think I was getting further away from. Not that it was a bad thing, because I like the more, there is a quality to taking your time on certain songs. That Diamonds on the Inside was more representation, as was Burn to Shine, of that. And I wouldn't change anything on those records, but working with the Blind Boys definitely reminded me of the fact that the soul of matters is in the immediacy of the sound.
You can overpick on something
That's
and
right.
overproduce it.
That's right. And it was time for me to get back to doing it the way I had done it in the past and demand, even though I could take longer to do songs, and this record could have easily taken, being a double record, it could have taken 5-6 months, but took 2.5, and that's mixed. And I said, you know what, I'm going to do it the way I used to do it because that I think is going to bring out the best in what I do. Everybody's got to know their own method. You know, some musicians take years to make records and record a little bit at a time. But for me, I need to get in and get out and then bring them to the stage so they can expand daily.
Ben Harper is our guest today in the World Cafe, chatting and performing. We should probably get to talking about some of the softer songs that are on this album,
okay,
that are kind of collected on one side of the disc. And there are a number of them. They're very beautiful and very...
This was an emotional record for me. I've never felt so raw and so emotional just in the writing of the songs and in the recording process. Like it was... And I haven't said this to anyone because I don't go around espousing my sort of secret emotional areas because it's just not healthy to do. But in all fairness, like this record... Love it or hate it, you know, and people are going to do both, and I think that's healthy. I don't think I've ever put out as an emotional record as this. Not from where I was, what I'd feel from the process of making it. I was like, some of it was like a laugh. I was like, oh God, do I really want to say this? Like, this is, it's hurt. Some of it hurt me to sing, and some of it made me so happy to sing as well. There's nothing. I didn't leave anything to be misunderstood. It's all out there on the table in earnest.
Does that make you feel vulnerable in a new way?
A little bit, but not in a way that I'm unfamiliar with. It's slightly anew to strike that direct on an emotional chord. It's not something that I haven't, I think, but it's just, I don't know, it just feels different this time, like I said earlier.
One of those songs that I guess comes from the warm place is Happy Ever After in Your Eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
And anything else you want to, any other context you want to give us for that song?
Well, I mean it. It's just a sincere statement to you know.
To whom?
To someone I love. And to people, it's my wife, my daughter, my mom, my grandma. It's directly to the people who have loved me my life and I will love for my life.
And you sung it to them?
Well, sure.
And they must feel great about that.
Yeah, it puts my daughter to sleep. So either she's bored or she likes it.
How old is she?
She's only one.
Well, we'll take it that you're singing it to us now.
Okay.
All right.
All right, fair enough. And I am.
The morning sun rise spread her wings while the moon hung in the sky, held the sea in your hands, and happy ever after in your eyes. Happy ever after is in your eyes. Couldn't leave you to go to heaven. I carry you in my smile. For the first time, my true reflection I see. Happy ever after in your eyes. Happy ever after is in your eyes. Every star in the night. Heavenly rest upon. All that I can give you is forever yours to keep. Wake up every day with a dream and happy ever after in your eyes. Happy ever after is in your eyes.
Thank you.
Happy Ever After in Your Eyes, another new song from Ben Harper. It's just great to have you here today.
It's great to be here.
You mentioned your daughter and your wife and Billy Bragg, another artist who creates political songs and personal songs about love.
Yeah, Billy's great.
Billy and
Steve Earle are a couple of my favorites.
Billy was saying the other day in an interview that it's tough to be a dad and a working musician because when daddy's working, it takes him away. And I'm just wondering how you're dealing with that now that you have a child.
And in all fairness, I got four kids, so that's always, I've been learning how to do this. I mean, you should know, yeah, but I mean, I've got a 9-year-old and I got a 1-year-old. And so all I can say is I give all of myself to both. And I'm sober. I'm not a recovering addict either. I mean, I guess I'm realizing when you say I'm sober, that means you're recovering. Although we're all kind of recovering from something. I just don't do drugs. I don't drink. And I give all of myself to being a partner and being a father and being a musician and being a writer and a singer and playing guitar. I mean, I'm clear-minded, clear-hearted, clear-spirit, invest the best of myself. Well, obviously, and the worst of myself at times. That's another important point, I think, because as far as we're going, you know, we're going deep on this interview and we're taking it in some directions that I don't usually let interviews go, but you still can't. It just so happens that sometimes when I'm not the best of myself, it works its way into an interview from time to time or something. So there's going to be times where I'm less, if I haven't had a good meal or a good night's sleep, one or the other or both, I may come to the microphone and not be in the mood to be asked. Here's the thing. XPN is known for music. And it's interesting when you get to an environment that's known for music and the first thing they do is, or even the second thing they do is ask you about your marriage before they really ask you any good questions about your music. And that's when it gets tricky. You have to earn the right to ask personal questions. And the better the musical questions, then all of a sudden that opens doors to ask things of the more personal nature. But it's about music. You don't work in a studio 2.5 months, 12 hours a day to be asked about your marriage necessarily. I'm way going off on a tangent just to say that no one should really be judged by an interview. Like some people, I think, walk away actually feeling like they know someone from an interview or don't.
This other question that you're not going to want to answer now, and no, I asked Sting the same thing when I interviewed him,
right,
is, I mean, you're living a life that's very different from the life our listeners live. You're
okay.
A very famous musician.
Okay.
You're married to a woman, Laura Dern, who's a
yes.
in the movies.
Yes.
So how do you keep a sense of normalcy for your family?
Because I demand it and require it, and truth be told, fame is a mirage. And the reality of life, irregardless of accomplishment, is day-to-day. It's day-to-day. I mean, my feet are, they're just, you keep them on the ground, and there's a way to keep your feet on the ground and your dreams in the outer reaches of the universe, and it's okay.
And you know what? It comes out in your music.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. You're such a passionate and sincere person. What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? I'm a basketball fan, a baseball fan. My father-in-law is one of my best friends in the world, Bruce Stern, and he and I spend a lot of time talking sports. He is one of the four most knowledgeable people of all sports. And so he's just a constant encyclopedia and wealth of knowledge as far as any questions I have. You know, Bruce Stern is the person, I used to go to sporting events and the crowd would boo the other team. And I was booing right along with him. And he looked at me and he says, "Ben, don't ever boo a professional." He says, "No matter how much you dislike them or hate them, they've made it to the highest level of their profession and they don't deserve that disrespect. They deserve better than that. Anyone who makes it to that dance deserves the floor." And I was like, whoa.
That's good advice.
So I stopped doing that right away. He was right. What was the question again?
The question is what you do for fun.
I love backgammon. So I'm an avid backgammon player.
How about Scrabble?
I'll take you out in Scrabble. I'll hang
we'll
with you.
We'll see about that.
Well, do you play dictionary or no dictionary? Because no dictionary, I am kind of sunk.
No dictionary.
Dictionary, okay.
Yeah.
And
Scrabble
time limits.
Dictionary.
See, the thing is, I get
no time limit either.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, that could go on for a second then.
All right. We're going to do this at some point in time.
I'm hoping so.
Ben Harper, thank you so much.
Thanks, Michaela. Thank you.
And come back.
Okay.
Thanks again to Ben Harper, the band, and to the Cafe's Michaela Majune. That new album, Both Sides of the Gun, is available at our website, worldcafe.npr.org.